to the Daily Regrounding Podcast, a space where together we can step into and steep in the natural world around us. Through interviews with experts in life, health, and business, as well as some solo regrounding riffs, we'll create mindful moments and deep breaths, allow for perspective and pause, and ultimately feel more connected and deeply content. I am your host, Meredith Ewenson. Let's dive in. All right, welcome back to a new podcast episode. And I am so excited to be chatting with my friend, Lucy Van Der Riet. She is a creator of spaces where women can explore their individuality as their superpower through the lens of human design in both personal and business. And this also extends to an agency that provides business support for creative entrepreneurs with an emphasis on your energetic design. And she's a mom of three and has one fur baby. Welcome, Lucy. So good to see you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Yay. I am excited for this. So Lucy and I have known each other for probably maybe almost a year now, I think. We were in a mastermind together and we've just been really closely connected for the last year. And she's just so knowledgeable about human design and has so much to share about it. And specifically things too, that I think if you're familiar with human design that you might not have explored or thought about or looked at it in this particular way. There's so much to learn about it. So we're going to dig in a lot to human design. That's what we're going to chat about. And yeah, I just appreciate you. And I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here. And yeah, I always feel so honored to be invited into chat and into your world. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So let's jump right in. First, if you could just tell us, for anyone who isn't familiar with what human design is, what it is, and then what brought you to that modality?
Yeah, sure. So I love hearing how people explain human design because everyone will have their own flavor. To me, it is really spiritual meets science. So it is this beautiful merging of ancient modalities. So we have I Ching, we have Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, we have astrology, we have quantum physics, we have the chakra system, we have genetics. And it is really the meeting point of all these places. And what it does is it requires us to have our birth details. So our exact time of birth, and I'll speak to why that is important, our place of birth, and date. And we put it into software and it gives this absolutely individual view of how we are here, how we are designed to best operate. And so it's actually often referred to as the science of differentiation because there may be one or two people in the entire world who have the exact same body graph or body chart or human design chart, and we can use all these words interchangeably, as you. And even if someone does have the same, it's not going to present the same because we all grow up in different environments and have, you know, different conditionings. So what I love so much about it is it just shows how absolutely individual we are. And so how I came to human design was it was one of those things where I'd heard about it. I looked up my body graph. I thought, oh, that looks really complicated. And I put it to the side. And then it was probably about 6 months after that, that it just kept appearing in my world. People kept, and it wasn't actually that popular now, like since I studied and trained to be a human design reader and really dove deep into it for myself. That was probably about 3 years ago. It wasn't as popular as it is now. It's become a lot more mainstream, which is amazing. But it kept coming on my radar and I thought there is something here for me. There's something here for me. And so I had my own chart read and that was it. I was like, more people need to know about this. And the reason that I felt so passionate about that was, for me personally, when I had my chart read, I was like, I feel so seen. Like, I just feel so understood. And that is the experience of people when they have their chart read. And now I've read for hundreds of people, and that is the most common feedback I get, is like, how do you know me so intimately without even having ever met me? And that is why I just love it so much.
Yeah, I was going to say too, that I feel like it really celebrates the individual, and it celebrates each person's nuances. And did you say it was also called the science of differentiation?
Yes.
I love that. And as soon as you said that, having had my chart read many different times, I feel like that is exactly what it feels like. You're learning the nuances of yourself, which are all so different and so unique to other people. And just like astrology and just like some of these other modalities, like, you know, and people say this, but it's true, that there is no better sign or better profile or better, like, there is no better or worse. It's really just coming to having a knowing of what your unique profile is, and then what that means for you, you know, and how you want to go about life and business and relationships with that understanding of yourself.
It really is. It's so true. And it really gives language to these things that we inherently know about ourselves to be true.
Right.
And we are all, like, as you said, you know, so nuanced. And sometimes we make ourselves wrong for the way that we inherently are, the way that we are, because it's not conventional or it doesn't align with other things. And we can feel like we're a mass of contradictions, which is perfect. And so when we can really have a light shone on this in such a beautiful way, like you said, it is really celebrated. There is an element of instant self-acceptance that happens. And that is just what is so beautiful about it. And often what people really love is that with so many things in the personal development world, it requires us to be something that we're not already. It's asking us to move out of ourselves, in a sense. Whereas when we're looking at human design, it's like, this is who you are and this is perfect. You don't need to become anything else. The only thing we need to focus on really in human design is unbecoming some of the things that we thought we had to become. And we speak a lot about that in human design, conditioning, and we all experience conditioning of some form, particularly in those early childhood years. And so we learn to be loved or to be accepted or to be celebrated, that we need to operate outside of who we really are. And so when we can see those places, and human design is so specific that we can really see, oh, wow, like, I see where I'm operating outside of myself there, and I don't need to do anything. I just need to unlearn that behavior.
That's really interesting, because I imagine, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I imagine that some people, when you read their chart, they might at first be like, I don't know if I resonate with that, or I don't know if that feels like me, when in reality, they just are so conditioned to feel or think a different way, or have been told so many times, this is how you are. And so they see themselves as really not themselves, but the projection from other people or the expectation from other people. Does that happen? Or is it more people instantly have a light bulb moment where they're like, oh, you, like you said, you see me in a way that I've only felt, but never really, I don't know, had communicated back?
Yeah, I feel like it's more the latter. I feel that people more have this huge exhale of like, oh my gosh, you mean I don't have to be that way? And so often what we see, and I'll just give you an example, because I find examples are just so useful for, you know, for grounding the concept, is that a lot of people misuse their energy. and they push themselves, and a lot of energy beings or even non-energy beings, a really common theme is people will push themselves and apply their energy to something that they don't love doing because they have been celebrated through childhood for their capacity to do, for their capacity to achieve. And so they have this belief that productivity and energy output equals being loved, equals being celebrated. And so when I will say, you know, to them, do you resonate with feeling like your output makes you worthy? That may be something they've never thought of before, but they'll be like, oh my gosh, yes. And then there's a lot, you know,
every single person's chart you read, you mean?
Every human. And that's just, you know, an example, but then, you know, then there's the unlearning and the unpacking. Yep. So when we say we'll have a reading and we, you know, and we dive into this stuff, like there is a lot, there's going to be a lot of aha moments, and it's going to be a constant integrating after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's, it's never ending, the amount of integration and just awareness you can have around once you learn your chart, then applying it to your life to a point where it just kind of becomes second nature. So for those who maybe have not really been exposed to human design, which could be some people, but I know it has become pretty popular. Can you give an overview of like what the different things people might see in their chart, like just some of the basics that people want to like look for, and maybe a little bit about what those are and what they mean?
Yeah. So the first thing is you can go to mybodygraph.com and you input your details and you will get a very comprehensive and potentially confusing looking chart, but that's okay. So the main things that we want to look at in human design, the first three things that we look at is, what is your energy type? And there are five different types, and it's really, you know, how you're here to best operate using your energy. Are you an energy being? Do you have consistent access to your life force energy? Or are you a non-energy being? And it's more, it's inconsistent, and you are inherently going to need more rest and recharge. And so that's always the first place to look. And then that then leads into your strategy. It's like, how am I here to move through life with the greatest alignment, with the greatest ease? And so your strategy will depend on what energy type you are. And then the third thing is your decision-making authority. So how am I here to best make decisions? And this is really interesting, because often we'll resonate with our energy, and again, we'll feel like so seen. And then our strategy, and we'll be like, yeah, I can see how that works. And then we have our decision-making authority. And this is where so much unlearning happens, because we have all been taught to make decisions from a mental capacity. And we've all been taught to look at things logically, to create a pros and cons list, to analyze things, when really our ancient body wisdom and how we're designed to make aligned decisions for us relies on us trusting our body. And that is such a foreign thing. And so this can be a real, real unlearning and a real practice. It really is. You know, I'm 3 years into integrating human design in my own life, and this is still something I have to constantly have awareness of.
Mm-hmm. I like that you said it's a practice, because it really is. It's not just knowledge that you know. It's something that you, like we were talking about, you integrate and you become aware of. And the more you practice, the more you engage with that, the more familiar and easeful it becomes in your life, which is really the ideal scenario, is you really get to learn yourself and your needs and how you function, and things become easier. Is that the goal, right? Things become easier and more in alignment, more in flow.
It's more in alignment. It's more self-acceptance. It's more understanding yourself, and it's more living in your truth, you know, understanding that. So they're the three main parts of human design. And then, you know, we go deep and deep and deep. And there's layers and layers and layers. And this is where the nuance comes.
Yeah.
And, you know, just as you and I were talking about before we hopped on, before we started recording, is that human design is all about the individual and how individual we all are. And with human design becoming more popular, it's so amazing. It is such a tool that can support us in our business, in our life, in our relationships, in understanding other people, in having a lens of self-compassion. So many wonderful things, but also it's becoming a lot more generalized. So when we look on Instagram and we look at our energy type and we be like, oh, okay, like that's me, I'm going to nail that, there isn't the space for the nuances. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's just really important that we understand it's one part of the whole, and we really need to have all the parts working together. So yes, you may have the same energy type as somebody else, and that informs a lot of similarities, but also, you know, there's so many differences that you two are going to have, you know, and depending on, you know, half of the population is what we call an emotional authority. And that means they need to really delay making decisions and allow for what we call the emotional wave to really play out. But also, decision making aside, having an emotional wave means that you're constantly going to be going through peaks and troughs of how you emotionally feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so different from someone who doesn't have that and they're really quite emotionally neutral. Your days are going to look very, very different. So we really have to have space for nuance.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because at least we, you and I, and probably some other people, see a lot of human design on Instagram. Like, how many carousels of generator, manifesting generator, manifestor, projector, and
so many.
I'm forgetting the last one. What's the fifth one? After
a reflector.
So just, you know, just like when you see a Capricorn, Aquarius, set, like a carousel, it's so easy to read the, you know, 40 characters and make it mean something about you as an individual. When, like you said, each person's entire chart is important and is a factor in what makes you individual versus just like a very distilled down, minimized version of something that is so precious, really, that it can be easy to look at those and either identify or maybe feel bad because you don't identify, when really it's just a snippet of so much. So when you do come across those on, you know, Instagram and stuff like that, like, take it with a grain of salt, really, is what you're trying to say. And get your chart read by somebody who really knows the nuance and can really help you understand yourself beyond just surface level.
It's so true. It's you totally nailed it. And it is great. Like I've said, I'm so happy that there's such a increase in awareness about how different we all are. That's so great. But what can also happen is when we see these things on Instagram and we see, for example, I'm a manifesting generator, and one of the signatures of a manifesting generator is that we pivot and we hold many balls in the air and we change our mind and we course correct. And yes, that's in alignment. But if we take that little bit of information about ourselves and we see that in its entirety as being truth, we can actually disservice our superpower. So what I mean by that is, yes, our power is to change our mind and to pivot. And when does that become a scapegoat and an excuse for not doing the thing?
Right.
And so we can actually find, and this is what I'm seeing a lot of on social media, is when we're taking that thing that is our superpower and we're misusing it. And it then becomes an excuse for us not seeing things through, or not committing to the thing, or having so many balls in the air that we're actually not able to focus correctly. And we're like, oh, but I'm just MG, that's my life. So we really have to be aware of, what we're taking on as truth for us.
Right. Yeah. So what you described isn't inherently a manifesting generator. It's an unhealthy or shadow side or pitfalls of a really dysregulated manifesting generator, right? Where
Exactly.
I'm a generator, and as you know, one of the sort of quote, quick lines of a generator is like Energizer Bunny, someone who can keep going and going and going. And it's like you said, it's very easy to blame overworking, overcommitting, doing too much, not focusing enough on the fact that, oh, well, I'm made to do it all. And that's what I'm supposed to do. And I just, I love taking everything on for everyone else. So if that's the way people are starting to look at it, they're missing a lot. They're missing a lot of it, is what you're saying, it sounds like.
It's so true. Yeah, it's so nuanced. And another thing with generators is, generators are, they are here to do what they love, and they serve the world by doing things that they love. And also, sometimes we can't spend 24 hours a day doing what we love, right? So how can we still be in alignment as a generator when it's just not possible that maybe our work right now is not lighting us up, So there has to be this element of discernment around, okay, well, I'm going to fill all the other hours of my day doing things that light me up. It doesn't mean you quit your job, And so I think that, I just think that there has not been enough space for the richness that human design offers in the in those little Instagram snippets.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm so glad you brought that up because I think that's really important, especially as things get popular, that we don't just minimize them to such digestible bite-sized pieces that they then mean nothing, because there's so much to it. Quick pause because I have a question for you. When was the last time you went for a walk? And I don't mean a dog walk or a friend walk or listening to music or a podcast, but when was the last time you went for a walk just to enjoy nature? I invite you to download my free 20-minute walking meditation. It'll help you soothe your nervous system and reduce stress because you're getting outside, moving your body, and breathing fresh air. You'll receive inspiration and it'll help you awaken your creativity because you're connecting with your senses to follow your curiosity, shift your perspective, and expand your awareness to possibility. And it'll give you the opportunity to connect back in with your own true nature by regrounding into the innate stability and abundance that exists in the natural world around you. You can download my free 20-minute walking meditation at bit.ly/free-walking-meditation to get outside, get grounded, and get inspired. That's bit.ly/free-walking-meditation. I'm curious what human design looks like for you in your daily life. Like, I know you share a lot on Instagram, and it's really cool for anyone who has a family, who has kids. Lucy shares a lot about how how you really seem to, at least from my perspective, like manage individual needs and relationships and wants and ways of working with each of your kids based on their design. And I know that's just one example, that's you with your kids, but what are some ways that you integrate human design in your daily life? And what does that look like for you?
Yeah, great question. So I do, I'll talk first to the family dynamic, because that has been one of the most It's been one of the greatest transformations of our family has been me having an understanding of the other people in my family's design. So myself and two of my children are the same energy type, but we're not the same. I'm emotional, they're not. My husband is a generator like you, and then one of my daughters is a manifestor. So four of us out of five are energy beings. Now, until I understood that my one daughter was a non-energy being, I would encourage her to do things that were really out of alignment for her. Because we're all get up and go, and we would be doing this and that, and she'd sometimes just be, I need a day in bed. She's 9 now. But I'd be like, what's wrong with you? And like we're all on this, let's do it. And changing the way that I understand her has changed everything for her. And me being able to communicate that with my husband, with the other kids, it's just kind of this acceptance. Okay, like you're going through a hibernation period, you need to chill. Also, the four of us will often be congregated somewhere in the house, and she's in her room. She needs space because she absorbs so much of other people's energies, mostly being us. And she needs time to just be on her own. And so having that lens has been such a game changer, such a game changer. She is also emotional, which I am, and no one else in our home is. The biggest self-learning for myself as an emotional being has been through watching her and through holding space for her and then realizing that that is the space I must also hold for myself. And it's just it honestly has been the most healing of my own inner child is through my relationship with her and understanding how suppressed my emotional being was as a child, just because, that's what we did. I'm sure I grew up in a home of non-emotionals, and here I was emotional, and there was no room for that. And so watching her and allowing that space for her emotional ups and downs to be loved and accepted, and I will speak to her about them being her superpower, and then I must also do that for myself. And so that has been really transformational for me. And just understanding how each person is and just allowing that to be. When we've got this language and this framework to understand why someone is, there's just less judgment. There's just more compassion.
That is so incredible. And imagine if every family had the opportunity to understand each other in that way. That would be life-changing for so many people.
It really would. And I think being able to talk to children too about these being their superpowers, again, these things that we make ourselves wrong for, being able to just give them obviously age appropriate little bits of information, and it makes me laugh. My husband is, I'll talk to him about it, but he's like, he'll take it on board, he'll listen as much as men can. But then, he'll throw out a line and goes, yeah, that's just, I'm a generator, and it'll make me smile. And then my other child will be like, oh yeah, do you notice us MGs are always together? Like it's just this awareness of everyone being different. And I think that also ripples out into them having this understanding of their friends being different and how we interact. And so it is this, beautiful way to be able to speak about individuality.
And I know you said earlier on that a lot of people find that they get They receive a lot of self-acceptance out of it. And it sounds like from a family perspective, or even a community or global perspective, you start to get a more, maybe more acceptance of other people, people that you might be close to, where there could be things that don't quite line up between the two of you. Like you said, most of your family sounds like you're very go, 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 where the one daughter isn't, that you're not making someone wrong for it, that you're not only not making them wrong, but you have an understanding that, like you said, that that's their superpower. So that is really amazing. That's so amazing. Obviously, human design translates into all things in life. What are some ways that people can apply it to business and to work?
Yeah, so great question. And this is, again, you know, where we can get really, really nuanced with it is, yes, understanding our energy type is fantastic. And it's a great way to know how to best use our energy in alignment from a work capacity. Making decisions, you know, really, it's a really, really helpful to, you know, especially when it comes to business. We often will really rely on our mental capacity, you know, so really being able to drop in and understand how we best make decisions. You know, some people will make them in the moment. Some people will, like me, it's better to sit on things and just see how you're going to feel in a few days. Some people actually need their inner posse to be like a sounding board for them so they can hear themselves. So that's a huge part. And then when we get really nuanced, understanding how ideas drop in, it's going to be different for everybody. How creative we are. How does creativity work with us? Do we work in cycles? How are we going to best communicate with our community? It's going to be different depending, again, on all the nuances in your human design. How can we leverage all these amazing things about us to really, you know, bring that to the forefront of our business? How do we communicate? You know, some people, like, for example, my profile, which is another part of human design, but my most powerful way of communicating is my network, is the way that I can spread my message is through other people in my network doing the talking for me about my message. Other people are going to best share their message by showing the trial and error that they've had to get to the thing.
So I'm a 1-3. So I'm the trial and error, right? Are you a 4?
You are. I'm a 4-6.
4-6. Yeah. Okay. So I like this example you're using that is sort of giving a differentiator between you as a 4-6, for example, and me as a 1-3. So I interrupted you there for a second, but the 1-3, for example, is more of a trial and error.
So a great way for you to be communicating authentically is in that way, is showing, you know, I did this and this happened, and I did that and that happened. And that is, I mean, that's how you learn, and that's how you are aligned to be a leader. Is to show people, you know, it's okay. We'll just keep trying different things. You know, we were speaking about that before we started recording too. You know, that's very much part of your profile and part of how you're best here to communicate in an authentic way. And what's really interesting is when we try and communicate in a way that is not aligned for us, we're not going to have that magnetism. And it's not going to feel good. And we kind of know it. Like we know it. And again, you know, you're a trial and error. So that's great. Try it. And then also know, okay, that's not for me.
Yeah, that felt phony. Or people didn't seem to really understand that or grasp onto it because they could tell it's not me. Yeah. And I definitely felt like that from one of many examples, that was one that I learned in my chart that I was like, okay, so it's, not only is it okay, but it's necessary to move forward on something as the pathway to learning yes, no, or pivot in this direction. Like, I feel like the way I operate is not in a straight line, and I'm not sitting back waiting. It's just a constant like curiosity, trying, learning, shifting, curiosity, learning, shifting, like that process kind of over and over. It's like a fine tuning, I guess you could say. And I think it's helpful to know that that is my natural disposition, and that's what works for me, and that's what helps me be able to be authentic and function in my own alignment.
Absolutely. And I think too, when we are integrating something like human design, life or business, is this word discernment is just so important. And a lot of us, where we can become unstuck with this is that a lot of us have what we call open energy centers. I'm not going to go into it, but it just means that we're taking in a lot from other people, from our environment. And this can look like mental confusion. It can look like doubt. It can look like inspiration. It can be ideas. We're constantly in all our open centers absorbing so much. And that can become confusing, and it be can become overwhelming, because we can feel like it's all ours. So what I will say, even you don't need to know your chart, but when you're feeling confused, when you're feeling in doubt, when you're overloaded with questions, always asking yourself, is this mine to hold? No. I have a lot of open energy centers. And so this is still, like we spoke before, a constant practice. When I'm feeling doubt, when I'm feeling confusion, when I'm feeling pressure, like that kind of deadline, pressure, adrenaline overload, I'm like, is this mine? Am I meant, is this mine to figure out? Is this my stress to hold? Are these my questions? Is this my doubt? Or am I just absorbing so much from other people? So always coming back to that question and that discernment.
That's such a good question. And maybe this answers the question I'm about to ask next. Maybe you just answered it, but what has human design made possible for you? Like, what has knowing your human design, like, how has that served you?
Yeah, so I think that a lot of it was related to the fa is related to the family dynamic, and just that, yeah, beautiful acceptance of how individual we all are, and how we really need to parent, and we need to partner, and we need to be a friend in different ways for different people. And that is absolutely perfect.
And you work, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to say you work really, you do human design readings, but you also work very uniquely within that with clients. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, how you work with people in terms of human design, other than reading a chart.
Yeah, so I do human design readings, and I also do something called alignment sessions, and that is where we do use your energetic blueprint. We do use human design as a springboard to really dive into the heart of why you are feeling out of alignment. What are current challenges that you're experiencing? And let's get to the core of that. And that's really helpful, because people will come with something. Often it is career related. Sometimes it may be relationship related. And like everything in life, when we're looking at human design, everything touches everything, right? So you may come for the business, but you will inevitably uncover gems that are going to be applicable to all parts of your life. So I run alignment sessions, and we dive into that. I'm also offering 28-day mentoring. So that's for the integration. That's for the real-time integration of it can be a lot when you're first learning about your human design, and there can be a lot of questions. And having that real-time support for integrating all these aha moments can be really, really helpful.
Yeah, that does seem really helpful actually, because when, like you said, when you get a reading, there's so much to learn and understand that, and this is me speaking from my generator 1-3 self. Like having someone to bounce something off, someone to communicate with where that can help with that fine tuning as you go, as you learn something, as you experience something, being able to connect with someone to ask questions, but also like just be there as a sounding board of support to help you navigate and make sure you're attuning correctly to your design is really helpful, I'm sure. So I always have to ask a couple nature questions,
Oh,
because
please do.
you know I love my nature. Do you have any particular place that you love the most, that's the most grounding to you, somewhere you might go regularly, or maybe it's just somewhere you've been before?
So I have always lived near the ocean. I grew up in Melbourne, and it's bay. It's bay. It's not surf beach, but we always lived near the ocean. And then I now live on the Gold Coast, but we actually live backing onto a forest. And we are 15 minutes from the ocean, but it's so interesting because I've always considered myself an ocean person. Like the beach just is like my happy place. And the trees and living so in the forest has done the most grounding. Has had the most grounding impact on my nervous system that was actually so unexpected. I mean, I don't know why it was unexpected, but I've just never been so immersed in nature. Like we literally open our blinds and it's just forest, which I try not to take for granted because you can become just so used to something. So I really try and constantly keep that top of mind how lucky we are. And I love it so much for my kids that they are, really exposed to the forest and they go on little bushwalks. And that's, just so beautiful. So to give you a long answer, I'm a half oceans, half forest kind of girl.
I think I'm a little bit like that as well. I grew up on a lake and then moved to the ocean. But whenever I go to the mountains and to the forest, that always feels truly like home to me. And I don't know, like you said, you were surprised you feel more grounded in the forest. And I can see that actually, because like the ocean, similar to air, maybe is very fluid and very uncontained, even though the ocean technically is contained. I feel like there's something just so unmoving and so stable and so predictable about a forest, where the ocean is completely the opposite, I think. So I'm kind of having this realization here in real time. I think that could be for me, maybe something that draws me to the forest and the trees a little bit more than the ocean. But I love the ocean too. But yeah, there's just something special about the woods and the forest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's like anything too, really. Like we go to different things for different needs.
Yeah, that's
I
very interesting.
feel like the being an emotional person and the waves, I really feel this deep resonance with watching the ocean because I feel it feels really familiar. I'm like it's a great reminder, of like the ups and downs. And the trees, they're just unshakable.
Yeah, I feel that too, actually, because like speaking of like the emotional wave and needing different things at different times, in the morning, I go watch the sunrise a lot and spend a lot of time outside. And I sort of choose every day. Like, I don't always go to the same place. I have similar places I go to often. Like, I have a few places I go, but I kind of like allow myself to be guided that morning as to which of those places that I need. And sometimes, usually they're on the water because I'm on an island surrounded by the ocean. So you're going to get a lot of ocean. But there are days where I really just want to be on my feet, on the ground, surrounded mm-hmm. by trees and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I think, just following that wave of what you need, I think is, as an emotional anyway, is I think, I never really put that together in that way, but, I feel good that I'm in tune with, I'm in alignment with my design. It sounds like.
I love that. Yes, you are.
So what's coming up for you, business-wise, and what can we look out for? Anything in particular? This will be coming out, I think, in a couple of weeks, just to give you a little reference. What's coming up for you business-wise that we should look out for?
Yeah, amazing. So I've got the readings. I've got the 28-day mentorship one-on-one for the integration. And I've also launched something called Your Village. And that is for creative entrepreneurs to outsource the things that do not light them up. And so this was really a creation that came from a genuine need I had as a creative entrepreneur, that there was things and tasks in my business that I just wanted to outsource, but also I wanted to outsource to the right person, and I didn't want to outsource to multiple people, and I wanted them to understand my energetic design. I wanted them to understand my vision, and I couldn't find that person, but I had worked with some great people. And so I've put together a team, and it is for that single point of contact for creatives to come and offload what they do not love, what they do not have time for, so they can really stay in their space of genius, knowing that their vision is going to be looked after, and that the way their energy works is also going to be forefront, and helping them that also determine, you know, what is the tasks that they should continue to do, you know, from an energetic perspective, what is lighting them up, and what is not in that zone of genius and is not really in alignment for them.
That is so smart. And I love that, like, that's such a way I would have never thought to apply human design to say, okay, this is the business owner, this is their human design, based on that, and here are just their logistical, practical needs as a business person. Here's where you most need things outsourced. And these are some people who probably, based on their design as well, love doing those things, excel at those things, and are happy to do those things. That seems like the way the world should work, right? It's like puzzle pieces.
It's so true. And it's just, you know, everything is through this lens of individuality, and there's just so much power in that, in really understanding and applying it to all the parts of our life.
I love it so much. So where can people connect with you?
So on Instagram, my handle is Lucy Vanderreet.
And before we wrap up with some rapid fire questions at the end, they're easy. is there anything else on your heart or your mind or anything that you feel inclined to share?
No, I have loved chatting with you, and I love we've gone pretty deep, pretty quick, which is always my fave. So yeah, thank you.
Perfect. So these are 5 rapid fire nature inspired questions. It's like a this or that. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Sunrise or sunset?
Oh, set.
Underwater or on the ground? We just talked about
the ground.
Stargazing or sunbathing?
Oh, sunbathing.
You are in Australia. Colorful
I am.
landscape, colorful landscape or earth tones.
Colorful.
And the coast or the mountains?
Oh my gosh. The coast.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say both for all of them.
I know. I know. I want all of it, all of the nature. Well, thank you so much, Lucy. This was awesome talking to you. I feel like I learned so much about you and how you work and about human design. And I know this is going to be really beneficial for folks that are listening. And I will chat with you soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Daily Regrounding Podcast. If you loved it, I would be so grateful for you to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening, as well as share it with a friend. And if you want to work with me, you can go to my website, meredithewinson.com, and have a look at my current nature-inspired meditation, mindfulness, and movement offerings. I'd love for you to connect with me on Instagram @meredithewinson. Thanks again for listening. And remember, with just one breath, one moment of awareness, or one step into nature, you can reground back to you.